Hello, Raphael.
Hey, Yvonne. How's it going?
It's going good. I'm still alive and kicking.
It's been a long day, huh?
It's been a day.
But this has been fantastic. This has been so much fun to get to talk to folks here in Texas and learn a little bit about what's happening in workers' comp in Texas.
That's right. If you haven't caught us yet, we are live in Austin, Texas at the Texas Workers' Compensation Conference. And it is my great pleasure to say that we are now going to have a conversation with none other than Stuart Colburn.
Woohoo! None other. Is there somebody else that might be appearing in my name? If there's two people here, I need to have a talk with the other guy.
All right. As usual, busting my chops.
Yeah. So I might have known you once or twice. So yes. And welcome back to Texas, Yvonne.
That's right.
And welcome to Texas. I know you've been here multiple times, but you're not a resident of our great state.
I am not. Thank you so much, though. It's good to see you. It's good to,
spend
some time together.
I love how the fact you went with an orange tie.
Yeah.
Not exactly burnt orange. Looks more like Tennessee orange, but I like the effort put in there.
I tried. I don't have a burnt orange. I'm going to have to get a burnt orange tie.
You're going to have to go over there and get one.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? With Miss Melissa Steger, who you need to talk with one day, she has lots of ties, I'm sure, being with the University of Texas. So we'll get you set up with that.
That's right. So Stuart, for folks that may not know who you are, I'm sure everybody knows who you are, but for folks that may not know who you are, why don't you give folks an understanding of what it is that you do in this great state of Texas and the workers' comp system?
I know. By the way, I love what you guys do. I have listened to every single one of your podcasts.
Thank you.
Usually within the same week it comes out, never more than 2 or 3 weeks later. And the guests y'all have and the conversations y'all have are really amazing. And when y'all first were doing this, I'm like, I'm going to do the podcast, support my friend. Now I look forward to him coming out.
Thanks.
And I seemed like I get to know people that I've never met before because y'all talked with them. So I love how it might have been deconstructing comp, but really y'all are, it's really more of an inclusion. And I get to know people that I've never met. And I truly appreciate both of y'all for doing this.
Well, thank you. That's nice to hear because I think that's been our intention all along is,
exactly.
You know, I was just telling the story the other day. Our first thought about podcasting was before the pandemic. And we've been talking about it for a while. And we were hoping to take really complicated issues. Like one of the things we always talked about doing is talking about Texas, the Texas work comp system. And what is this opt-out situation that they do here? And how does that work? And what's going on? And as we got to where we actually launched the podcast, it was pandemic. And so we were like, yeah, maybe we don't need to talk about such serious and heavy issues. And so we rethought it. And we thought, this is the way we're going to approach it for now. And it has been getting to know people. And that's just kind of the way Ralph and I are. I mean,
yeah, y'all know everybody. And you're making fun of me for knowing people. I have a phone that has less people than the people you know by heart. You guys are both amazing.
I don't know about that. Well, thank you. But no, it's been a lot of fun. We really enjoy getting to know folks. And that's been the approach all along. Talking to people so that other people, whether they meet you or not, understand more about what it is that you do, how it is that you decided to come into the workers' compensation system. So let's get to talking about that now with you. So who are you with and what do you do?
All right. So I'm a lawyer. Don't hold it against me. I know you won't. I defend employers and insurance carriers in workers' compensation claims. I got into workers' compensation, like everybody else who has been on your podcast, by accident, right? I fell into this. I know you don't like that saying these days, but it is Hotel California. I got in and I couldn't check out.
You can never leave.
It's been that crazy. But I actually had an experience with workers' compensation before I ever was a lawyer. And it was in 1988. And
that's the year I got into the industry.
No, wow. I got into it same day.
Wow.
I was during the day, I was mowing lawns all day long, and then would get off at about 3, go take a shower, and then I would deliver pizzas in the Houston area. And while delivering pizzas one night, I got called out to an apartment complex in a bad part of Pasadena, and a guy walked up to the trucks. I couldn't find the apartment number because there wasn't that apartment number. And he stuck a knife to my throat and said, give me your money, and which I proceeded to do, not quickly enough. So he stabbed me repeatedly on the left-hand side of my body. He got a couple of extra stamps because I asked for my pictures back out of my wallet because my sister, the only pictures I had of my sister. That was not the smartest move, but I was 19 years old, so I can be excused for being stupid. And then, of course, I drove back to the office instead of to the or the pizza delivery joint, as opposed to actually going to the hospital. But yeah, I got to spend some quality time in hospital with doctors.
God, I've never heard this story.
It's a great story for voir dire, picking jurors, the example of what a bias and prejudice is. So, you know, that was my introduction to workers' compensation.
That reminds me of our friend Bill Zachary.
Yeah.
He wasn't delivering pizzas, but he was working at a park there in the San Francisco area. Wow.
So, you know, didn't think anything of it. To me, it got me a computer. I got a used Apple computer for college, so that was kind of nice. And it went on my merry little way. Got into workers' comp as a lawyer because I sent out a bunch, about 120 resumes, looked at all the law firms that represented schools because I wanted to do school law. I hated law school, but I really like education. To me, I just wanted to be an educator. I wanted to educate somehow. And as a lawyer, I wanted to be in that world. And out of all of those, only one law firm returned my levy resume, and they represented school districts.
Mm.
Doing workers' compensation claims.
Wow.
And I have been here ever since and love it. Wow. Love it.
Same firm?
No, that was a different firm. 7 years later, I joined the firm I'm with now, Downs and Stanford, opened up the Austin office. Here's how much I love workers' comp. I used to, unfortunately, until last year, was married to a workers' comp adjuster and supervisor, and she was one of the best that ever did it. My daughter helped me write the book because she did $1,000 worth of fines, and to make her pay it off, I made her do the typing on the first year of the book. I write a book about workers' compensation for LexisNexis with my two great co-authors, Joe Anderson and Albert Betts. By the way, they put the people in alphabetical order. I thought with the last name Colburn, my name would be first. No, I had to pick an Anderson and a Betts. So the rest we go. We ABC. Go now, we're the ABCs of workers' compensation. So that's if I ever funny. Do it again, I'm going with Weldon, okay? I'll make sure it's the very end of it. So I do that. I got involved. I was asked by a judge to set up the workers' compensation section for the State Bar of Texas. So I did that, served as its first chair. And then I love conferences, and I love speaking at conferences. And you've had me speak at several of yours, and it's a joy, and I appreciate it. I'm a little bit of a ham.
A little bit.
I know that. A little bit.
And that's what we love about you.
Yeah, well.
Make it fun.
Be a lot of fun and then leave. End on time and be entertaining. That's
right.
What I was told
to do. That's
right.
And you also make webinars fun, too. You've moderated quite a few sessions. Well, actually, we just did a 3-hour ethics webinar.
Yes. And listen. Guess how many times I will do that again.
Don't
I'll be calling you in 2 years because we need to update it in two years.
We are not doing 3 hours of ethics again. It went well. That was great people.
But it went really fast. I was on. I tuned in. People think like, oh, yeah, Yvonne, she sets them up and then she just dashes, right? I was on the whole time. And I have to say, I have been on many multiple-hour webinars. RASP does one for 5 hours. And
Rasp,
I sit there.
We're talking about Judge Rasp out of California, Southern California. He's a very dear friend of mine. But Rasp, listening to Rasp for 5 hours, he probably gets a lot of enjoyment out of that.
Well, he does a good job. You do a good job. Anyway, when you can tune into workers' compensation law and ethics for 3 hours and think that the time went fast, I mean, come on. It's entertaining.
It was fun. We had two very good people, a plaintiff attorney, Alan Tysinger out of San Antonio, and another carrier attorney, Brandy Prejean out of Boston.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It really was. You guys, I mean, one thing that sticks out in my mind was when you were talking to them both about driverless cars, and you were poking holes in them. Well, what if this were to happen? It was quite entertaining. We'll just leave it at that.
I love the fact that Brandy's like, oh, Stuart moderates. We don't need any in training. Am I good? Because I'm not telling you what I'm doing. And it's actually an ethics class I do for 2 hours. I do have it 1 hour and 2 hour, but it's the old trolley question. And it's come back in play because of the self-driving cars. It's been too much long to get on it now. But I was making Mr. Tysinger and Ms. Brejean think about their...
That's right. You sure were.
So
I remember looking up, and both of them at times were like thinking really hard about what they were about to say in response. But the reason,
because it was being recorded for 3 hours.
But so
I mentioned we did it for three
hours. 3 hours, and why did we do it for 3 hours? Because the state of Texas has a requirement
that people suffer for 3 hours.
Adjusters.
I have not read that statute.
Adjusters and attorneys.
Okay, look, if you look that up, we may need to see if we're.
I shall
maybe there's somebody here at the.
Adjusters and attorneys must have, as part of their continuing education requirement, they have to have 3 hours of ethics.
Yes, they do.
So this is why WorkCom Central asked you.
It's a great idea, and next year be really interesting to see who you get to do it.
In all fairness, the initial question that was asked was, we'd like to set up a series. We wanted to do it 1 hour at a time. Mm-hmm. Because you guys are so dang busy, you all decided to knock it out in one swoop.
That's interesting. I don't recall that.
I have the emails to prove it.
I believe you. I'm getting old man's disease, so just because I don't recall it doesn't mean it didn't occur.
Well, anyway, I think it was a lot of fun. I'm sorry it was so painful for you.
But, it was fun. But 3 hours is a long time.
It is a long time. I invite you in person
is good. On webinars
it's difficult. You know, I know you guys all love, Rass beats me up all the time about this too. It's more than you can imagine putting on a live event. You got to pay for stuff.
Sure.
You got to get people there. I'm not saying it's not something I love to do, because you both know I love to do events, but.
It is. And unfortunately, in our industry, every single time the economy has a downturn, we tend to focus our bean counters and we reduce the amount we spend on what people can't see.
Well, and that's the thing. When it specifically relates to education, that's what happens, is there are less dollars attributed to sending folks to live events because there's travel expenses. Of course, there's some liability involved. Anyway,
well, the reason why they do it is just easy. But wait a minute, because the ROI happens a year, two, three, 4 years later. And for people that want to count their quarterly bonus, it's easy to say we're slashing education because I don't get an immediate return on that. Mm-hmm. And when everyone does it, it's always started, but I just remember the 2007-08 was a huge downturn in the amount of people that went to conferences, attended in-person things like here, the Texas Workers' Compensation Conference. Although I'm delighted to know they've set a record in attendance. So that's great. They've done a really good job.
And hopefully that will continue to grow.
Yes, absolutely. But we want people to go to conferences. I've been involved with the National Conference in Las Vegas for a number of years now, and that's a great conference as well. But we need local conferences. We need national conferences. We need more training for adjusters. It's high-quality training.
This is not the first time we've heard this today.
Yeah.
And I have a bias, just like I might have a bias against people who stab people because I was stabbed. I have a bias for education. And so I know that about myself. Even without that bias, it's something that we all need to do, and we need to do a better job of it. Because when you don't have it, you lose it. You need to be challenged with good education. And if we're going to bring in new people into our industry and keep them, one thing people want to know is how to do their job.
Right.
And it is so hard. One of the toughest jobs is to be an adjuster. It is so much harder than being a lawyer. I would not want that job. I could not do that job. And the way that we treat our adjusters is basically you have to have somebody that has a very poor sense of themselves because we treat them like crap.
I know.
Brokers yell at them. Agents yell at them. Doctors yell at them. Claimants yell at them. Claimant attorneys yell at them. And then they get their supervisor goes over and says, you didn't do this right in the file. You didn't do that right in the file. The employer claim review, you didn't do this right in the file. Then we're going to audit you and you didn't do something right. It's just a terrible job. To remove the fear of that job, remove the fear for new people, we want to provide, here's how we do it, and really support the people that are making these decisions. That's how we're going
to
get better.
So let's talk about that. What do we need to do? What do we need to do in order to do it that way?
Oh, God. We need you to become goddess. I'm sorry, more than the goddess that you already are. and demand that every single insurance carrier has to send every adjuster outside the work where they can't check emails and return phone calls and go to 2 and 3 day conferences and be challenged and be educated on what's happening.
I haven't been able to achieve that in the how many years I've been doing this so far. So well,
you need to get to work on this.
Queen
Hera.
We've
appointed you goddess. Oh, you want to be a queen now? Well, I was giving her god status, and now she just wants to be queen. Okay.
I'm saying I would need to have some sort of status like that in order to be able to make people do stuff. Because
that's well, you said how we could do that. That's the only way we're going to get this done. Until then, it's going to have to be employers, right? Employers have to drive the bus because carriers are doing less and less, right? They're contracting out the TPAs, and that's going to be the wave of the future for a while. So it's going to have to be employers that say, you know what? I want the best for my workers. I don't want this bundled product that's the lowest cost. I want to look at treating my workers with dignity and respect. Mm-hmm. I want to treat them like they're my mother or my brother, and that's mothers and brothers you like, not mothers and brothers you don't like. And I want to take these folks and do the right thing. And to do that, I want adjusters who care about that. And they have to implement it from their perspective, doing the right thing by, you know, contacting employees when they first get injured, really taking away as much as possible the fear that every worker has. Mm. Because most, when you have a severe injury and you have these claims, it is probably one of the worst days of your life. Yeah. I can say when I got stabbed, it was one of the worst days of my life.
Sure. Yep.
So it would be nice if you have the adjuster really calling and checking on you and saying, okay, how are you doing?
Yeah, what a
right?
concept.
Not check a box. Oh, 3-point contact, I did that, move on. Oh, I got the voicemail, outstanding. I don't actually have to talk to the worker. Yeah. And you hear employers who do it differently. St. Barnabas up in New Jersey, they did this great thing. They set a metric because, you know, the only thing that matters if you have a metric, right?
Yep.
And if you set a metric, not of do you have 3-point contact, it was do you actually have a actual conversation with the worker? And then you train folks on how to have that actual conversation with the worker. You talk to the employers and they have to phone call and they have to speak with the employees. And not just the first time, keep it up. Keep those phone calls coming, because in a very short period of time, you as a worker are going to feel like you're not valued.
Yeah, the isolation.
And you're not heard.
Yeah.
And if you're not valued and not heard, then fear starts coming in and you feel apart. And those lead down some really dark
pathways,
yeah. Right? I love when Bill Zachary, you've already mentioned him, dear friend, you know, he loves to say, you know what? Worklessness kills people.
Yep.
Right?
It's been proven.
Absolutely, it's been proven.
And Scott, we're gonna have to put together a collection of Bill Zachary sayings, because another saying he says that I love.
Zacharisms.
Do the right
Yogi Bearisms.
Yeah, do the right thing and everybody wins.
Yeah.
I love that. That's a Zacharism.
Well, the claim advocacy model that you two are very much familiar with, that's that concept as well, right? Mm-hmm. We do the right thing and it's the right thing. Doing the right thing is the right thing. What's amazing is now we're getting numbers from these employers who've chosen to do that. Hey, don't tell anybody. Shh. Don't put it on a podcast or anything. But guess what? Doing the right thing saves money. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Really?
It saves money.
Look, I told you this would happen. We start talking. And time goes by really fast. There's a couple things we need to say really quick. But first, before I ask you this other question, before we move on to the other question, you talked about how you ended up in the work comp industry, which I had never heard that story before. I can't believe it.
When I go around telling people, guess what? 1988, I got stabbed. What were you doing that day?
Well, what keeps you in the industry?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Inertia. I think for a lot of people, you develop something. I got in. I had a great mentors to begin with who are still my close friends now. I love Mr. Chris Emile. He's just a wonderful human being. The attorneys I practiced with my first 2 years in workers, we still meet every year, even though we're all different firms. We still meet for Christmas party every single year. We all drive in and have Christmas. And we'll see each other on the road, and we are buddies. The plaintiff attorneys in Texas, some of them are some of my closest friends. I've spent the night at people's homes and went and had trials the next day.
Wow.
These are just really good people. The judges, they're great people. And we all get along. We were such a small group. When I created the section for workers' compensation, we were then, and still are now, the smallest section of the State Bar of Texas.
Well.
Okay? And we don't make a lot of money in Texas workers' comp. I mean, the poverty lawyers make more money than us. That's a little bit ironic.
Well.
So I stay in because I met all these connections, right? Like I said, I ended up meeting my wife for 20 years. I met all these people I'm still very close with. And there's very few people that I don't like in what we do. And then I got into education and conferences, and I get a kick out of this. Yeah. I get a kick out of learning. I get a kick out of going to conferences. I'm the geek that's been doing this for 25 years and still goes to the classes.
Well, every person we've talked to today, I would say, has a level of passion, and you have a level of passion, as do I when it comes to education, and you do too. So it's great to see that level of passion in the work that we do. But real quick, I want to mention, so a session that you did yesterday and today with our friends Bob Wilson and Mark Pugh, establishing a whole person recovery mindset. Talk to us about that.
All right. Well, first, I have to say both Mark Pugh and Bob Wilson, I've known them for a long, long time. Mark Pugh is my brother from another mother. I love him to death. And he's just, if you are having a bad day, go spend it with Mark.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be a better human being. Mm-hmm. You want to go save the world because Mark is that much of a quality individual.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Wilson is hilarious. Bob's also a great guy, but he's got such great charisma. He's funny. He's smart. He is an outstanding writer. So much fun to be around. Of course, we get up on the stage. Bob and I tend to, we tend to make fun of each other the entire time, which the audience seems to love. And I'm pretty sure a couple of new gray hairs grew on Mark's head, trying to bottle the smoke that was Bob and I. So what this is, for people who don't, it's a lot of terms. You claim advocacy was one thrown mm-hmm. out. And it's that concept. It's the concept of looking at the injured worker, and they're not a number. They're not a claimant or applicant, depending upon which state you're in. They're a person, and they're a person with lots of stuff that have mm-hmm. happened in their lives prior to this workers' compensation injury. 16% of human beings have traumas, experiences that occurred in their childhood. And you don't think that impacts the recovery. When people look at two people with the same
only
injury,
16%?
16 people admit to having an adverse childhood experience.
I was going to say, it's way higher than that.
Well, yeah, because how many people are going to say, yeah, I was sexually abused, or I was molested? People aren't going to volunteer that, even though we're getting better at that, removing stigma. So biopsychosocial model, mm-hmm. claim advocacy model, all of it, we're trying to do the right thing is gather as much information about the worker as possible to help that worker, educate that worker of let's get through the system, let's remove the fear, let's get you back to health, and then that gets you back to work. I used to always say it's all about getting back to work, and a client said, no, Stuart, our focus is not to return our workers back to work. We want to return our workers back to health. And if they get back to health, they're going to come back to work. And that was an employer who fired their previous law firm because their law firm was going after dispute after dispute after dispute. And they heard mm-hmm. me talk, and they liked this concept. And I thought, man, this is what I want to do. And so I love coming in and preaching this type of stuff. And there are some people who don't get it, and mm-hmm. they're just going to cost too much money. But those that do get it understand that, doing the right thing, it's always the right time to do the right thing.
So how was it received here at the Texas Work Comp Conference?
We've gotten a lot. No one's going to come up to you and say, Stuart, boy, that talk, you sucked. I mean, I'm sorry. It was boring.
They might.
The information you got was terrible. No one's ever come up to me and said that. So I thought today someone was going to. Someone came to me and said, I just got to let you know. I may not be right to say this. Me and Bob and Mark are that was the best one we've been to the entire time. Oh, great. And I'm like, great. So I think it's gone over really, really well. If not, we were at least no PowerPoints. We did not death by a million PowerPoints. And you're talking to someone who has done 150 PowerPoints in a 30-minute talk before. Keep it fast-paced, Jack. This is no PowerPoints. This is all just having a conversation. with two great people about doing the right thing.
All right, well, Ralph, you got 20 seconds. This is supposed to be a 15 minute.
20 seconds, Ralph.
15 minutes, 19, and we're already at 25.
18, 17.
Love you.
Love you too, brother. Really, you've never said that before. All the podcasts, you've never said that.
Right. You make us better as an industry. You really do. I've said it here today before. We have said it out loud publicly before. You really are one of the biggest treasures in our country. Our industry is better because of you. And I want you to know that, right? We hold you at the highest level. There is no one better out there. And this foundational commitment to education, you can see it a mile away, right? We know you're committed to it, and that's why our industry is better, because of the experience you bring to the table, but your commitment to share all of that with all of us, right? Young and old and everything in between. So thanks, man. We love you.
I love you too. And I'll tell you what you're doing by taking people like us and our little stories of what we do in our own little worlds. And you're aggregating all of that from all of these people. And people are listening and they're talking about that. And y'all are making a much bigger difference. You two are amplifying what work some of us are doing. And you're getting it out to the masses. And I can't thank both of you.
Well, we love it. We're happy to do it.
Yep.
And we really do appreciate you and love you. So, all right. Love Fest is over.
All right.
That's enough love yous. I love yous. All right. So we always end our episode how? We say goodbye, but we say hasta luego.
Hasta luego.
Baby.
Hi, Stuart. Hasta luego. Well, we haven't done that. Hasta luego, baby. All right.